I am here on October 24th with Amanda Marquis. Amanda, welcome.
Thank you.
Amanda's a friend of mine, and I love being here. And I just told you, I love coming into the Leland Legacy because it does not smell at all like a nursing home or like a retire. I mean, it just smells so good in here. Right. I want my house to smell like this. Right. I love it. This is such a welcoming place to be.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. We try very hard.
Good, good. I always start off interviews with, where were you born? Where did you grow up? And just tell me a little bit about your childhood.
Okay. Actually, I was born in Indianapolis, and for 38 years, I lived in Greenfield, Indiana, which is just east of Indianapolis.
Okay. And Greenfield, is that the place where there's this big, long factory that you don't know what it is along 40?
Yeah,
okay. Exactly. That's how I know that place.
Pretty much. And home of James Wickham Riley. We can't forget
there
him.
There you go. That's right. Go. Okay. So 38 years, that's a long time. So mm-hmm. What brought you to Richmond?
So actually, I was engaged at the time, and my future husband, his family was from around this area.
Okay.
So it took a decision to leave, you know, my hometown and head this way.
What was the transition like?
You know, I think about it now, I can't believe that I actually did that because I don't like change.
Oh.
So for me to do that, I was just all about it. I did visit Richmond quite a bit and I really liked the feel, very welcoming. And so, yeah, I made that step 11 years ago.
Okay.
So I've been here for 11 years now.
It doesn't seem like that long.
No, not at all.
11 years not is at a all. Long time, though. How did your daughter do with that change?
You know, she was sad about it. Mm-hmm. She was in second grade at that time. So, you know, her little friends meant the world to her. But
yeah.
She was fine with making that transition, too.
Yeah, that's awesome. So when you got to Richmond, what did you do? You landed here and...
Actually, I was really excited to kind of have a new perspective, a new life, a new direction.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I had visited quite a bit. And I actually came to the Leland. It was really my only interview that I had. Came in, and I remember walking into the lobby thinking, oh, if I never leave this place, if I get this job, I will never, ever, ever leave. And so 11 years later, I'm still here.
Oh, that's
so
amazing.
Yeah.
And what job were you applying for at the time?
So at the time, it was actually activities director. So I was the activities director / front desk person.
We weren't
assisted living at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very much, though, I had always been in property management.
Mm-hmm.
So the director at the time, she had planned on retiring. So they wanted me to mentor her and so forth. And so this was a good position for me to be able to mentor her, and by the time she retired, then I could take over as executive director.
Okay. So I didn't realize you were in property management before.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do? So what did you do in Greenfield?
So actually, I used to be a realtor.
Really?
And I used to be an apartment manager. So
okay.
The apartment communities that I managed, it was right around 400 people or 400 apartments. But I had not dealt with senior care. You know, some days our 100 apartments here feel like 400.
I'm sure they do. Yeah.
Just because you're dealing with a different component.
Yeah.
Other people, it was just the worst thing that happened to those people maybe was their garbage disposal wasn't working.
Right.
And, you know, here you're working with people and their health
mm-hmm.
crisis or family and so forth. So
mm-hmm.
it was a lot different.
I'm sure.
But I also was a realtor. I was a realtor, had 20 listings when the stock market crashed.
Oh, gosh.
So, you know, listings are great, but if nobody could get the lending, that kind of poses a whole new problem. So, at any rate, I got out of being a realtor, but have been here ever since.
So, had you ever had any senior care?
No.
Work? Okay.
None.
So, you talked that transition. Tell me a little more about that transition. So, you said, you know, the worst problem somebody might have is a leak or,
sure,
you know, something
sure.
else, but you've now got families involved.
Sure.
How does that?
Well, and growing up, I did not have my grandparents. So
mm-hmm.
I lost all my grandparents by the time I was in fifth grade. And so this was a new direction for me. And I do get emotionally attached to the residents, to the family. It's
mm-hmm.
not just people who are numbers that I have to fill up a building for to make the owners financially happy.
Mm-hmm.
I really look at it differently. Mm-hmm. And so it is, it's hard. But one thing I've learned over the years, and just today, the management team went out to the hospital. One of our residents is actively dying. Oh, and we went to say goodbye to her. And it was tough. Mm-hmm. This is our friend. This mm-hmm. is, you know, somebody we saw every day. And for her to be emotional, for one, saying goodbye to us. Mm-hmm. But we've all felt like it's an honor to be at the end of life, too. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten to experience a lot of moving moments. I had one gentleman, you know, that I had the honor to be by his bedside while he was dying. And, mm-hmm. and in his personality, he said, "My goodness, how long does this take?" Oh. But that was him. He was always joking. And then with that, he said bye-bye and closed his eyes and passed away.
Oh, my gosh.
It was such a beautiful, touching moment.
Yeah.
And even today, as emotional as it was then and mm-hmm. even talking about it, mm-hmm. It is. It's a pretty special place to be. Mm-hmm. On the flip side of it, there's some people that don't have any families. We're their mm-hmm. only family. Actually, over the years, I've never gone to a funeral of my own family, but I've been to hundreds in this role.
You're kidding.
Role.
Oh, my gosh.
So, but like I said, it's a pretty special place to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So. That must be just insanely hard. And right. I feel like you you have taken that compassion because, you know, my question to you was just, what's the difference of working? And you go immediately into family care and
right.
to
right.
senior care part instead of all of the issues that right. you're having, which I think makes a huge difference.
Sure.
I mean, just
sure.
like how nice it smells in here. It's yeah. just all about making people feel better
sure.
about their situation.
Sure.
That's amazing.
And you know, too, I say it all the time, just because you can't hear as well, see as well, it doesn't mean you can't still have fun.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, when I was activity director, it was really funny. We had movie time. So mm-hmm. I would go to great lengths to find all these old movies mm-hmm. and all this. And one day, one of the ladies said, "I've seen all these. We want to see the new stuff." And I'm like, you know, you and I,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
I'm sure we love 80s music or whatever, mm-hmm. but we don't want to sit there and listen to it 24/7. So,
right.
you know, some of the perspectives, you go, oh, yeah, good point.
That's
yeah.
a really good point. Are there things that you learned that you wish you didn't know about senior care? I mean, are there things where you've thought,
well, yeah.
gosh, there are parts of this I really didn't sign up for?
Well, you know, there are some, you do get to know them a little mm-hmm. bit more even than their families.
Mm-hmm.
I won't elaborate too much, but just because you get older doesn't mean you lose the desire
yeah.
to have a companion.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Sexually
yeah.
the whole thing, and so
that makes sense.
You know, there's been a few times that I go, man, they have more of a sex life than I do.
so yeah.
But you know, it's human beings, and in the 11 years that I've been doing this, one direction that I've seen a lot in the last 5 years are families that take advantage of their seniors
mm-hmm.
or try to get drug seeking, that mm. kind of thing. And so we are very protective or mindful of people who try to take advantage of them too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that really, that's the stinky part of the job, because
mm-hmm.
you see people that come in and, you know, whether it's the beginning of the month, knowing that they just got their Social Security check and want
mm-hmm.
money from them, or, you know, drug seeking,
mm-hmm.
which in our role, we keep narcotics locked, and it's under medical profession, the nurses care,
mm-hmm.
things like that, but it doesn't stop people from trying.
No, I'm sure it does.
So I've seen a turn, and I do. I get rarely, very protective of them, and
mm-hmm.
in fact, there's been a few situations that I had to get confrontational with somebody
mm-hmm.
who was crossing our people, and the police even here said, you know, you really put yourself in harm's way when
mm-hmm.
you're chasing somebody down the alley because they just wronged one of your
oh my
residents.
Gosh.
But that, you do. You get
yeah.
really protective of them, too.
I mean, I think that gives the public confidence, though, in wanting to put their family members here, though,
yeah.
is because of your protective nature.
Sure.
You're like a mama
sure.
bear here, aren't
right.
you?
Really, yeah.
Don't let her claws
come out. Don't
mess
with my people. Yeah, don't mess with my people. So
that's funny. Has it given you a different perspective, though, on how you want your parents or your family members or you right. to go through the sure. retirement years and the ends of your life?
Well, definitely. And some of the things that I have seen in a negative light, I've told my daughter that if you ever treat me that way, I will totally haunt you. But on the flip side of it, you see families. I mean, there's some amazing people that will be here daily to mm-hmm. see their loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my family, I just recently moved my parents here from North Carolina. And they grew up around this area. They had grown up in the Winchester area. So it was coming home to them. Mm-hmm. They love Richmond. Mm-hmm. They love going to, you know, Radford's on Saturdays mm-hmm. to get all their good little deals and
yeah.
do all the shopping locally and everything. But I found that I do this for a living, and sometimes taking care of your own family, you go, what the heck? How do I do this?
Yeah.
You know, so I do it all day long, mm-hmm. but when it's your own family, it's a total different story.
So it must be kind of nice for others, though, to have you taking on that role instead of them.
Yeah.
You know,
and
kind of nice to hand it over to a professional.
It is to, whether it's, you know, siblings or mm-hmm. kids or whatever, families at the end of life should be families. They shouldn't mm-hmm. be caregivers.
Right.
And so what we always try to instill in them, hey, we'll be the dirty dogs as mm-hmm. far as taking care of their health care and so forth. You guys go back to being family, visiting, spending quality time together, not running around trying to take care of them as far as medically and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's been a few times that I had some really candid conversations with family that even said, you do remember your kids are watching how you care for your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Because people lose sight of that too.
I bet
they do.
So
I think the family tree can suffer by watching how other people are being cared for.
I agree. Do you have trouble with families that kind of over advocate for their loved ones?
Right. Yeah.
I think over advocate is probably a bad way to put it. But families who are constantly kind of on you.
Yeah. Sometimes or they treat their parents. It is like a role reversal, and I mm-hmm. even do it for my mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you suddenly try to take on this parental role,
mm-hmm.
and you really have to keep that in check and still have that respect that these are your parents.
Yeah.
So
what do you find is, for the residents here, what is the thing that gets them the most excited? I mean, we've talked about when I come into the building, I'm always greeted by this lovely man that always asks me how my family is, and
right.
I just love it. It
right.
feels so good. But
right.
And that seems to be an area of comfort for him.
It's very important for him because
yeah.
he doesn't have any.
He's
and so
delightful.
He is.
I'll adopt him into my family. I always feel so good. But do you have, I mean, what makes them feel like this is home, or what excites them when they're here?
So, you know, one thing that I think the staff does really, really well here, and I've told them, you can't talk to them like they're a child, you know, treat them like, you know, a human being,
mm-hmm.
like they still have their sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
So our staff is really good about, you know, respectfully laughing and joking around with them
mm-hmm.
and enjoying that too. But recently in the last year, I said that I want them to accomplish their life list. And I never call it the bucket list because I'm like, look, we're not going to wait until we're dying to do this stuff.
Right.
So I call it a life list. So we've started doing things and asking the residents, what are things that you have never done in your life that you want to do now?
Mm-hmm.
And so we packed them up and went to a Cincinnati Reds game.
Oh, how fun.
And the Reds, the organization themselves were very sweet, and
mm-hmm.
they, you know, put up on the big board
and all this
stuff,
yeah.
and everybody was, but gosh, that was really nervous to me, because
yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to, you know, I want everybody to be okay. I tried to figure out every scenario possible, so we had
mm-hmm.
several vehicles, so if somebody needed to come back early,
mm-hmm.
not everybody would have to come back early, and they just had an amazing time,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it was like, put aside all their health issues, growing old issues, mortality issues, and they could just enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've really tried to do some of that. We did.
I love that.
One of them wanted to go to the Colts training camp thing, so we did that. were trying to line something up for, there's a lady who had taken voice lessons forever, mm-hmm. Growing up, and she really wants to sing the national anthem.
Wow.
So I said, I don't know that it's going to be like Cincinnati Reds or anything like that. Yeah. It may be at a Richmond High School game, but we'll figure it out, you know, to make sure that she does that.
Oh, that's so neat.
And so there's a couple, there's a little bit of talk about some skydiving and some things like that. One lady wants to go up in a hot air balloon, and I said, well, they do tethered rides, you know, at the balloon festival.
Yeah.
And she goes, no, 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 no. I mean, I want to go up.
You get me up there, girl.
So one gal had never ridden in a convertible, so a friend of mine had a convertible, and we took her for a ride. So I think it's really important not to lose sight of that stuff.
Do you know of other places that do this kind of thing?
You know, every once in a while you'll hear, there was recently a story that I had read about a lady, a hospice nurse, that a gentleman wanted to go up in an airplane. But, I mean, mm-hmm. we're really specific that this is our life list, and by mm-hmm. golly, we're going to make sure it happens.
I love that, Amanda.
And
that is incredible.
Yeah, it's fun, but it's a life list, not a bucket list. Because we're not going there.
Yeah, so. No, I love it. That's so important. I think that's an amazing thing. I had a person that used to work in senior care that I knew that said, I hate it when people assume that life has ended and this is, they're just waiting to mm-hmm. die, which is completely inappropriate and not how it is at all. And they said, policies against not taking them outside and things are crazy. You know, imagine never feeling rain on you. Imagine never feeling snowflakes on you.
Right.
Yeah. And I love that you don't do that here.
Right. And we even have a gentleman that I never thought it from his perspective. He is, he's not able to walk and so forth. And so every place he goes, he does need a van with a wheelchair lift mm-hmm. and so forth. And his family doesn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, hey, we'll make it the party bus one weekend, mm-hmm. get your family together. Mm-hmm. We're going to load you up and we're going to go to your favorite restaurant and some stuff like that. But it's easy to forget how convenient it is for you and I to walk out to our car and mm-hmm. hop in and go.
Mm-hmm.
And so another thing they love, and I got to go with them last year, is drive around and look at Christmas tree lights.
Oh.
You know, it's things
I mean, I love that. We all love that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Or we do a huge community event where we invite anybody and everybody to come trick-or-treating. And we buy the good candy. It's like, you know, the good candy bars and, you know, no root beer barrels, you know. So we have the residents sit around and pass out candy.
That's so
and
fun.
They love it because guess what? At mm-hmm. years and years, they did it at their own house. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some of them do kind of the one for you, one for me deal, but that's okay
that's
too.
All right.
And they have a blast. So we've mm-hmm. done this. We're now, this is our third year of doing it. First year, there was only 100 kids. Second year, there was maybe 250. Last year, I'm pretty sure we were pushing 500
kids. That's amazing.
So, and I've started getting messages from the community, different people saying, my kids love it, and so mm-hmm. do the residents. And
oh, that's so cool.
So, yeah. And we rock it out. It's pretty fun.
That's so fun.
Our budget has gone up for the candy.
I'm sure it has.
Yeah. So.
I love the idea, though, of incorporating all types of people from the community into this place. I mean, you host events here, you have children come in, you have, you had a dog for a long time mm-hmm. that was here.
Yeah.
I mean, just making sure that the residents feel like this is part of what they were used to of interacting with all kinds of people.
We did implement a therapy dog program mm-hmm. and we're on our third one now. She's actually a rescue. All of them have been rescues.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I didn't expect from the residents is some of them will say, we know how you feel. And that just breaks my heart.
To the dog?
Yeah.
No way.
As far as nobody wanting you or whatever. And it's just like heart-wrenching. And so, but it's really neat to see them, how sweet they've been with the dogs and so forth.
I bet.
So, and we're on our third dog. And again, it was a rescue. So
that's amazing. Mm-hmm. I love that. You just make this place feel like home for everybody. I mean, for me as a guest when I come, and I always feel like probably what you felt like when you walked in. Ooh, I could live here. Yeah. This place is gorgeous. Exactly. And it smells good and good food. Yeah.
And it is neat to, if you spend the time to actually listen, mm-hmm. I mean, you can, to me, there's a difference between hear and listen. You know, mm-hmm. you've got to sit down and have conversations with people and employees too. It's important. Yes, we have the therapy dog for the residents, but it's neat to see the employees to embrace, you know, the dogs that we have come in or the house dog that we have. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going through stuff too. And mm-hmm. sometimes it's checking things at the door,
mm-hmm.
but everybody needs to be needed.
Mm-hmm.
And the residents, of course, they still need to be needed, but employees do too. So
I love that concept. That's I think something we forget too mm-hmm. often. You talk about your employees as a team so much. I don't think I've ever been here when you haven't said something like, my employees are the great, my mm-hmm. team is the greatest. Mm-hmm. I just love my team. And that has got to make them feel good. But how do you build that? I mean, well, you've done a beautiful job at building yeah. that team.
And actually, when you say that stuff, I do. I get choked because when I went through to get my boards to do this, I remember in one of the classes they said, be very careful in getting close to your employees. So guess what? I tried that for like 6 months. And it's just like...
Did you suck at that?
Yeah. It's like telling me not to eat chocolate, you know? So it just does not work. And they don't even realize it sometimes as far as the team building that they do.
Mm-hmm.
When I first took over, one of us, one of our staff members, one of the managers, her dad passed away. And I basically said in morning meeting, I'll be in the lobby at 3:00 to go to the funeral home. Anybody who wants to go, meet me there. But I mm-hmm. felt it's important to be there for her.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know, every one of them showed up in the lobby.
Wow.
And we rode over together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just amazing to sit there and look and see all these people
mm-hmm.
there. Sitting by me at this funeral,
mm-hmm.
And they didn't realize it, but that was team building. Mm-hmm. If you're going to mourn together, you're going to, you know, work together, you're going to, love each other. It mm-hmm. just, they have really stepped it up. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we laugh. Oh my gosh. We play jokes on each other all mm-hmm. the time, all the time. But when it gets down to it, I mean, they will 100% drop anything for any of us.
But how do you build that? I mean, that's not normal, I don't right. think. Right. I wish it was, but I don't think and that's as normal as it should be.
You know, honesty, I'm very mm-hmm. upfront with them, very candid. That can be good, that can be bad. I have instilled in them that you say you're sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sorry is probably one of the strongest words in the English language, mm-hmm. I think. A lot of people look at it as a weakness. I look at it as a strength. If you can say, I'm sorry,
mm-hmm.
you're the boss. I mean, that is mm-hmm. amazing for somebody who can recognize I could have handled that differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is important. And you know, one thing I've told them all, it's like, darn it, we're going to have a good day. Is it that bad? And I say this all the time. Is it that bad that I ask you to smile?
Yeah.
Is it that bad that I ask you to laugh? And then one time I said, I don't expect you guys to sing zippity-doo-dah all day long. And then like a month later, I had to kind of get on them a little mm-hmm. bit. And I said, I used to say I didn't expect you to sing zippity-doo-dah. Darn it, I do.
I want
to
hear it today.
And start singing. So
yeah.
You can get so caught up in your day in and day out job duties and all that that you lose sight that you're taking care of people.
Mm-hmm.
We've had 3 perfect surveys in the last year.
That's amazing.
And that is an accomplishment
yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
And I said, I will appreciate that all day long. But mm-hmm. if you walk in this building and don't enjoy it, it's all for naught.
Yeah.
You know?
And
right. So when we're feeling, we are in that kind of business that whatever we are going through or we are feeling, no matter how hard we try to hide it,
mm-hmm.
Our residents, our family, they're going to pick up on that.
Mm-hmm.
So it is important to mm-hmm. us. I remember being at the time clock, and there was this girl that I overheard her talking about adopting a dog, and she was going through the process of references, and I heard her over talking about it at the time clock, and it came from this dog was coming from the same shelter that our dogs come from here. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh my gosh, I'll give you a reference. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And mm-hmm. I'll never forget her look on her face, because mm-hmm. it was kind of like, wait, you just stopped and talked to me. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you're in a management role too, mm-hmm. those people are the untouchables or whatever. Mm-hmm. So guess what? I went upstairs, I called, I mm-hmm. gave her a reference, she got the dog. Mm-hmm. But she was so touched that I, for one, overheard that, but mm-hmm. followed through with it. Yeah. You just yeah. do that for people.
Yeah.
And so I've really gone to great lengths to do that. Mm-hmm. You still get hurt. I understand mm-hmm. what they meant in our class, because sometimes you do, and then you get burnt.
Yeah.
But it's also worth it every bit mm-hmm. for the times that it does work,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't do for people expecting anything in return. You just do it because that's what you should do. A big mm-hmm. part of that's from the way I was brought up, too.
Mm-hmm. Were your parents mm-hmm. like that?
I mean, they were. We lived in a farming community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if Ron Martin, our neighbor, needed help pulling a calf, mm-hmm. my dad would drop everything and go down and do it. Mm-hmm. And when the blizzard of 78, when all the city people were stuck in their houses for weeks, guess mm-hmm. what? That neighbor came and dug us out in his John mm-hmm. Deere tractor. You know, you mm-hmm. just... That was how I was raised. And so, you know,
yeah,
that's still important. And customer service, too, isn't necessarily how it used to be. So if you take that extra initiative, it's like tenfold mm-hmm. because customer service just really isn't, to me, is important sometimes. Mm-hmm. So if you take it seriously, it will be perceived tenfold in people's eyes.
I agree. It's funny, a few minutes ago you said you started to say family and you meant residents.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
really nice to mm-hmm. hear. Yeah. It just sounds like you treat both your staff and your residents sure. and everyone like family, which is so nice to hear.
Sure.
So I want to go on to another topic. You do so much in the community too. Mm-hmm. I think you're incredibly supportive, both financially supportive as an organization, but also you're very much a cheerleader for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And you were nominated for the Athena Award
uh-huh.
last year, and I was asked to write a letter of recommendation. I was like, I can spit this sucker out in 30 seconds. She's so easy to write a recommendation letter for because she's just so giving of everyone. Uh-huh. Talk about some of the things you're involved in. One of the things that I was involved in with you was Women's Fund, mm-hmm. but what are some of the cares that you have in the city?
So Women's Fund was really important, to me. And it was so funny because Mary Jo Clark, of course, your mom, mm-hmm. I had met her when they held the, Women's Fund luncheon here for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I always joke about, you don't want to make eye contact with Mary Jo because then you'll end up on a board. Yeah, you'll end up on a board. And guess what? I made eye contact.
Run!
Yeah. But it's an amazing, I don't know, it's just women supporting women or encourage, you know, young girls to be leaders. And, I mean, you don't make leaders by just snapping your finger and saying you're a leader. You have to be examples through that. Mm-hmm. And so I've just really tried to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I can be a successful businesswoman all day long, but if I don't share whether it's the skills or the resources I have, it's all for naught.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have great Rolodexes, and that's one thing that I've always done. If I hear somebody that needs something, if we all took that extra step to go, like I used that reference thing for the dog, I mean, if mm-hmm. we used our resources more,
mm-hmm.
can you imagine the achievements not only we would accomplish, but the people around us?
Right.
So I guess that's where I felt like Women's Fund had that vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am really involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
I have been involved in several boards. I'm on the YMCA board.
Mm-hmm.
That's important for me for youth.
Mm-hmm.
I just had somebody last night she was asking me about what boards I served on, and I told her the YMCA. She got so touched because her child has Down syndrome, and the programs that YMCA has, he was never able to participate in soccer, but with YMCA he is.
Oh, how cool.
And gives me goosebumps, because you know, we all serve on boards that it's time that we donate, it's time maybe that we don't have, but it's important.
Absolutely. And
especially to grow a city, but youth is a soft spot too. I think that they need cheerleaders for that. Girls Inc., I love Girls Inc. I've spoken to them several times on healthy relationships and so forth. But yeah, there's not too many people that if they call and ask something of me that I don't know the answer or have the resources, I'll find somebody who does.
That's awesome. You have, speaking of Girls Inc. and Women's Fund, you've been public about your relationship, that you were in a domestic violence situation, and have been public. And I know a lot of people kind of poured on you praise for that. Did you feel like that was a good thing? Do you regret kind of being public about it?
You know, it's funny. I never had one ounce of regret with that. And I don't even know why I was okay with doing that. I mean, I'm a very private person. So for me to just kind of put it out there. But I just remember some of those poignant moments of people that were there for me. It's terrible for me to ask for help. I can say all day long, I'll be there for anybody, everybody. But when you ask for help, that's a level of vulnerability that's hard to even fathom. And I did. I had found myself in a situation that it was, you know, I had been pushed downstairs, I had been called every name in the book, and just really depleted emotionally and spiritually, everything. But there were really like snapshots of people who helped me through that time. And I mean, your family was amazing. A police officer, the owners of my company. I mean, I just remember feeling so vulnerable to actually go and ask for help, and they were there. And so when I did that, what it was, I did my testimony, basically. It was for women's networking. I'm drawing a blank. Women's Resource Network. Sorry. And they had asked for a testimonial, and I don't know how many, to this day, and that was what, like two or three years ago, I still get people asking me what they can do for a friend that has domestic violence issues. Probably a couple times a month I get calls.
Do you really?
And even this far removed, people, or I met somebody last night at a women's function where we were networking, and she said, you spoke at Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. And I didn't know who this person, but apparently she was in the audience. And I've had a lot of people say, your story is my story.
Really?
So I think that it does. It makes me sad to hear those things. But I also know if somebody reaches out to me, I hold that as such accountable. If anybody ever, if anything ever happened to them and I fell short of not making sure they found the right resources, I would be devastated.
But that's a lot of responsibility to put on yourself, though.
Well, it just, you know, I just remember having people that I could go to, and I understand why people don't leave. You know, I was a successful businesswoman, but when I walked out of the house, I had two laundry baskets of clothes, no money. But I was probably, the air that day was the cleanest, clearest ever. I mean, I had zero, but man, I felt like a total different person just walking out that door.
That's amazing. You've given a voice to so many people. And I think also making sure that people see the profile of a lot of that domestic abuse can happen to anybody at any time. And just kind of putting new lights on it, I think, is so important.
Because anybody who was outside looking in would have totally looked at me as having game on. That, I mean, we had a five-bedroom house. We had, you know, I had a good job. But even my employees, colleagues, Mm-hmm. No one knew, mm-hmm. you know, what was going on. Mm-hmm. That's something else that I've been fortunate enough to have is a group that it's a class in Indianapolis mm-hmm. that of executive directors that basically they have classes a couple times a year going through the boards like I was, and I have the opportunity, they show my video actually mm-hmm. In their class, or sometimes I go and speak because mm-hmm. as people who have employees mm-hmm. you may not know those signs,
right,
you know,
right.
So somebody working, you know, excessive hours or kind of keeping to themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was doing all those signs, but mm-hmm. nobody really was picking up on them.
Yeah, yeah. So. That's amazing. Well, it certainly shows your compassion for others, but also just strong as hell spirit.
Well,
that's really impressive.
And I remember somebody saying, gosh, aren't you afraid that he's going to come after you? And mm-hmm. I'm like, well, if he did, that'd be pretty stupid because everybody would know who it is. You know?
That's true. Yeah.
So I've not had any problems. And mm-hmm. actually, a lot of his family who loved me tremendously but mm-hmm. didn't even know mm-hmm. when I was going through that. And they had really, I felt like, abandoned me. Mm-hmm. Circled back around and said, so sorry that we didn't see it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, and actually he still lives around this area and mm-hmm. it's really strange. I've never seen him, but I don't, like I said, I'm not mm-hmm. scared about it. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. And mm-hmm. quite frankly, if something did happen, it would be pretty obvious.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I just think you've handled that with such grace in a public which is tough. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how I would have been in your situation. And you just, every time you talk about it, you talk with grace and power, but not kind of fake power. It's
right.
just, I own this story. This is my story and I can.
Well, and then too, I think sometimes when somebody goes through that, I was very adamant and focused on how I handled that. So mm-hmm. for like 3 years, I didn't date anybody. Mm-hmm. I was very to myself. Mm-hmm. I just felt like I needed to, I mean, this sounds cliche, but go through it to get to it. So mm-hmm. I needed to process everything that had just happened so that I could have healthy relationships in the future. And so, you know, replacing one situation with another just wasn't an option. So there mm-hmm. was a lot of alone time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes counselors, I did have some counseling, but, you know, counseling's interesting because it's kind of like somebody, if you haven't gone through that, it's mm-hmm. really hard to listen to somebody who mm-hmm. hasn't experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I remember it was actually at a women's fund. It was, we had shown my testimony at mm-hmm. the women's fund luncheon.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember this beautiful African-American lady mm-hmm. Probably designer clothes, just classy. She almost could have been a model.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember her walking towards me,
mm-hmm.
and then she just quietly said, my story is your story. Mm-hmm. And with that, she laughed.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I totally just did to her what people were doing to me.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, people were looking at me like I was game on and mm-hmm. everything. And I remember mm-hmm. seeing her. It was like an hour before that I spoke, thinking, dang, what a beautiful, classy woman.
Yeah.
And then with that, she was gone. And to this day, I still don't know who she is
really?
Or was.
Oh, my gosh.
And pretty poignant moment on the flip side of it that I go, oh, gosh, I still do that to people,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's domestic violence or anything else, mm-hmm. we prejudge people.
Oh, we're really good at it.
Yeah.
That's hard to work on, though.
It is.
It's a very hard thing to work on. Your instincts are very hard to fight
sometimes.
Right, you know,
exactly.
It's guts, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I on behalf of everyone who's been involved in women's issues or men's issues, I mean, men go through that as well. And,
sure.
And just done something incredibly powerful there that
well,
is uncommon.
And actually, as far as the men, there's mm-hmm. two men in this process that had... one of them is a very predominant business person mm-hmm. here in town that he had confided in me, and mm-hmm. you would have never guessed that
mm-hmm.
he had a situation where his wife would physically
mm-hmm.
attack him frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to my 30th class reunion. My
mm-hmm.
30th class reunion,
mm-hmm.
I have a classmate that came up to me, and he has 6 kids, and he said, I meant to reach out to you a long time ago, but I watched your video over and over and over again, and he said, I went through traumatic times with my wife abusing me.
Really?
And then I spoke at the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. And that morning he said, I would really intended to try to make it. He's a business owner in Indianapolis. And he said, I really wanted to be there and listen to that. And I was just so taken back because, again, I mean, we do what I would say, gender specific or stereotyping and everything. But yeah, so he had been in that same situation.
That's amazing. I'm sure that's just a point of people feeling like they've got a little bit extra power now, knowing that that you successful before, very successful afterwards, and that going through that renewed you, I guess.
And I remember him saying, the classmate, he's like, it's hard to realize that I'll ever heal from this. And so he said, you've really encouraged that process. So.
That's really neat. So. Who, when you were, I mean, you were here, while you were suffering, how did the residents, how did the staff, I always tell people, since I was in fundraising, you have a bad day, the donors will bring you back into perspective. I mean, the donors are there to heal everything. They're amazing. How did you use this place to help heal?
You know, I don't know. It was just, I've always looked at them as my family or whatever. And quite honestly, it was almost nice sometimes to not talk about it. Because that can be your identity. And I always tell people, look, that's what happened to me. That's not who I am.
Right.
And even in my video, I say, I'm Amanda Marquis. I'm a mom. I'm a sister. I'm a daughter. You know, a darn good one at that, because when you go through that, you question everything, and you know, sometimes you have to claim it, you have to claim it back. So
well, that's I think a lot of people use their jobs as a way to kind of get through things, because they're a wonderful distraction too.
It seems like
the residents here would be a really fun distraction too. I think a lot of times, you know, they remind you about
it's
the fun parts of life.
You know, it can be exhausting here. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, there's been a few times it's like, I just can't do it anymore. And then you have a, either have a vacation or you have a weekend and you're like, okay, I can do this.
You know? I got this.
So it can be very rewarding. So
if you had to get on your soapbox about elder care, what are the things that you wish others would be doing that either you're doing or you're not doing and you wish everyone was doing differently in elder care?
As far as elder care, you know, all of us are in this situation to think that, or mindset, that we're never going to get old. You know? Isn't that amazing? Even with me, I mean, I'll be 50 next year, and it's hard. I always say old age is always 15 years older than what you are. So you somehow think it's never going to happen to you. So it's humbling to me to see that. But I've also recognized that sometimes families don't treat each other well because it's hard for them to see the decline. I get that there's an emotional component. I even do it with my own parents. My patients with my own parents probably lack sometimes, but it's just because it's so darn hard to see them get old.
Right.
I don't want them to be old. You know, I don't want to see them have health problems and all that. So I think that's probably a frustrating part. And for crying out loud, make the time, you know. Make the time to come and see them, call them, send them a card. If you saw them at the time that it is to get their mail, do you know how excited that they go to see what's in that mailbox?
Every time I'm down there, there's somebody waiting for their mail.
And I mean, think about how excited you are to actually get a handwritten note. And I mean, they look forward to that. So take the time. That's all I can say, really, is take the time.
Well, I feel like the programs you've implemented and the way you treat your... I always... You're right. I never hear anyone in here talk to somebody like a baby or like a kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's always in an adult voice. Right. Speaking loudly and clearly, sure, and slowly, but always in a very professional... Mm-hmm. I'm talking to you. You're older than I, yeah, am. You've had more life experience. You just have such a beautiful way of honoring that here.
Yeah. And it's like a, yeah, conversation like you and, yeah, I are having. Yeah. So, yeah.
You do that really, really, yeah, well.
Thank you.
And I think it's an amazing, amazing quality in you, thank and you, in your team. Thank you. So thank you for all you do.
Sure. Thank you.